Jamel Sirleaf, how are we doing, man?
I'm good, dude.
It's so good to see you.
I was curious what your intro was going to be.
Dude, there's no intro here. I tried doing an intro on the first episode, and the retention rate on YouTube like immediately dropped. So I'm just trying to get people listening as much as possible. It was like they saw my, and my fault was like I did it in the kitchen, and it was just like, I was very formal about it too. Like, it's kind of funny to watch back. I was like, hello and welcome to the low point. It was like NPR.
I was thinking, welcome to 60 Minutes.
We are going to talk about Gabe Malika's friendship breakup, which is the first episode. Oh, which is very fun. Jamel Sirleaf.
Yes.
You are a star, my friend. I can't speak highly enough about you. You're always out here. He's shaking his head like I'm making stuff up. No, but dude, I remember the first time I saw you, we met at a mic. Yep. I think it was
Lower East Side.
It's where they did
I tried to get that room too.
That's a great room. Yeah. It was really good. And I saw you go on stage, and dude, what's cool and what I love about being your friend is that you're the coolest person in whatever room you go into. So it's
chill.
always like I see you and I'm like, I know him. Like, whatever.
Yo, you gotta get let me tell you something, bro. If you listen to this, if you watching this, if you need somebody to say good things about you, bro, get yourself a map.
Oh, dude, I always try and just start with something like nice about the guest. But it's what's been really nice is it's like usually sometimes, like, you know, you really have to think. But with you, dude, it's like it's clear, it's right there. And then the other thing I want to say as well is I did a showcase at Rodney's. And the show started slow because I think you were having like trouble getting in or something like that.
Oh yeah, when I was late.
Yeah. And it was like by no means your fault. It was like traffic was crazy that day. I remember coming in, and it was funny because I remember the producers like talking. They're like, "All right, I think Jamel's on his way." And I overheard. I was like, "Oh my god, Jamel's coming, dude!" You came into the room and crushed.
It was a good show.
Dude, it was a great show. But you made it a good show because like it started real cold. Like it
really?
Was, dude. It was so first. Yeah, first three comics that went up. Kind of bombed, and like, which is like, it's fine. It's
showcase.
Like a show. Yeah, it's a showcase, and I don't mean that like in a disparaging way, but in a way where you like came in and you made it such an amazing show, and everyone was like invested in you. And I was
wow.
like, dude,
thank
I was
you,
watching,
man.
Dude, yeah. And you work so hard at it too. You're always hustling and doing shows.
I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that you can hang your hat on at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff that we do is subjective. I gotta give you flowers too, though, bro. Like, don't.
I was waiting. I'm
don't
just
lowball. Exactly. I know. This is contractual agreement.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we talked beforehand. I was
okay,
like, I'll
now
go
for
first.
20-minute segment on Matt Pena. No, bro. Like, you work super hard. Obviously, very talented, very funny.
Dude, that means the world coming from
I'm
you.
I'm going to say underrated, if that's no disrespect.
No. I appreciate that. And I'm actually very happy you said that, because one of my things this year is like, my thing was last year I didn't get passed at a club. And that was like one of my, I was really disappointed about it. But, you know, I really thought about it. And the things I want to do in this space, I'm so blessed I have this space here at this bookstore in Hoboken where I can produce the shows and work on the stuff I want to work on. But you've hosted so many times, and everyone says so many amazing things. Like, whenever
love
you host,
spot.
It's really nice. And the comics really, I really built this to, I want comics to have a place outside of clubs where they can come and like work on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like Brian Elberg, who's an amazing comedian. I love him. He came and he did 10 minutes without like teacher jokes. And he texted me after. He was like, thank you for creating a space where like comics can like work on stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, that meant so much to me. And it's so nice that.
Also
like,
very funny guy.
He's so funny. Yeah. You can go follow him. Brian Elberg. He's awesome dude. But dude, it's like, I'm just so happy to know you in the scene, man.
Bro,
I'm
like, you talk about this space. Like, dude, I've never been here. You've sold out I've done this show four times, your show.
Yeah.
Four or five times, something like that. Every single time sold out.
It's nice, man.
Every single time, yeah. Local people, like people really in Hoboken, people live around the corner,
yeah,
people that know you.
In.
Like that's you building like a little community and family.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
It's really nice. And the shout out to Carmen Russo, who's the owner, who's like, her mission statement is like to build community in Hoboken.
You're doing it.
And dude, she lets me do it, and I'm so grateful to her. But we had a mic here. We do a instead of buy a drink, we do buy a book, because all the books here are like $4 to $7,
mm-hmm.
which is like awesome. So like comics come and like whatever, or you
oh,
can get $5.
I didn't even know that was a
that
oh, was a
dude, yeah, we've done it twice. Dude, the last mic we did, we had packed room, like a regular show.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it was better than some of our shows. Like people were in it. They were like having a good time. We had like some music acts go up. Dude, it was so much fun.
We always music too?
Yeah. We had music come on.
Oh, fire.
Yeah, dude, it was so funny. And it was such a blast, man.
Also, bro, not to glaze you, but also online presence phenomenal.
Dude, and that's what that's
you, a little, you fucking popped. You did it.
I appreciate that, dude. And you know, here's the thing, like, I wanted to talk about with you as well, because you do these amazing videos with Josh Szymanski, who's another wonderful comic. I've seen him a bunch. Dude, you just did a video that fucking killed me and Taylor. We were watching it on TikTok. The average dude chooses
The school.
Dude, yeah, the school.
not the school, the work one.
Yeah, the work one. Dude, such a great premise. And when you put on that Starbucks hat, dude, I was dying laughing.
I was on the internet for like a week trying to find, like, on Amazon, trying to find like hats for the companies, bro. You know, I was trying to find a Walmart hat for so long. Walmart sells every hat except for one that has their logo on it.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't. That tells you a lot about them.
Well, yeah, exactly, dude. And
but also, who's not repping the? I mean, I rep Walmart's logo, bro. Like, it's not that deep. I can't rep Walmart.
Dude, that's so funny, man. But, dude, you're popping off with the online stuff, too. It's going good. So, dude, I'm so curious to hear. And, like, again, we can cut out whatever you want, stuff like that. But, like, what?
You can talk about anything. Oh, you keep everything.
I'm so interested, like, just because I think your ceiling is so high. Like, what do you want, like, out of a career?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Bro, it's very simple for me. Like, I just want this to be my job.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. It's
I really don't care that much about all this other stuff. Yeah. Like, I just want to wake up every day and know that, like, all I have to do is write jokes, make videos, and then go on stage and tell them. Yeah. I want to, like, travel. I want to tour. And then I want to do, like, movies and TV. Yeah. I have, like, all those aspirations for sure. Mm-hmm. But, like, first and foremost, it's my so singular focus right now is just making this my job.
Dude, I love that so much. And it's so apparent, like, it's so apparent in your work on stage that, like, you dedicate a lot of time to this. You said something which reminded me. Sam Frank, who's another amazing comedian, him. He said something I loved, which is he goes, "Damn, man, I wish I could just do stand up like without the people," which, like, because, like, it doesn't, you know, because I feel like we're guys, like, we don't really care, like, about the fame portion of it. Like, again, I'm in the same boat. I just want to work. It's always been my goal from day one.
I don't care. And I mean, like, if you know me, like, you know, like. You know me for a long time, actually. No, I think about it. I've known you for two years, something like that.
I think at least, yeah.
I'm not really gonna hang out. I don't really go to parties like that. Yeah. I don't really do.
Dude, you know, and what's so interesting is, like, because the hang, I feel like, is so important, like, to comedy as well, like, to meet people.
Right.
And, you know, I work in business during the day, and it's funny, I've had this realization where, like, the networking aspect is, like, way more important in comedy than it was in business. Like, it's so much about, like, I feel, like, so cliche and, like, weird saying this, but it's so true. It's, like, it's not really who knows you. It's not who you know. It's who knows you.
It's who knows you and what they say about you.
Exactly. Your reputation and all those other, and all that stuff as well. But, yeah, man, it's just, like, it's so important. But to that point about, like, because I'm in the same boat, too, I really want to go do my shows. And then I want to hang out with my now fiance and my dog.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Dude, it only took him freaking
possible.
8 minutes to say it.
Oh, my goodness, bro.
First episode as a fiance, dude.
Bro, how's it feel? Does it feel different?
Dude, you know what's really nice is I said this to Taylor. I wasn't expecting it to feel any different, but, like, it feels exactly the same, but also super different, which is really, like, I know. It's like.
wait.
It's like, pick one. No.
Do you, like, stare at her when you wake up in the morning?
Not. I do that just to her. No, I'm just kidding. Just when she wakes up. No, I definitely. The family thing is really different because now it's like our families are like, well, because our families haven't met each other. So now they're like,
Really?
Well, so my parents have met her mom and then that's, like, about it. But, you know, it's as far as, like, she hasn't met, like, her sister or anything like that. We're going to try and do it this summer. That's been, like, the biggest difference. It's like, oh, shit, like, worlds have to collide now.
Wait, how long have you guys been together in total?
So we've been in total 2.5 years. So, yeah, it's...
Okay, that's... for some reason... See, maybe... Man, it feels like you guys have been together for, like, 10 years.
Dude, I was going to bring this up because you said to me the other night, you were like, it's about time. And I was like, dude, 2.5 years is pretty good.
That's what,
like,
I'm saying, bro. In my mind, I thought you guys were, like, dating for like a long time, and then it got serious for a little bit. Like you met her 2 years,
two and a half years ago. I met her in person at Pier 13. That's what you got to do when you're 5'6", man. You got to meet these ladies in person.
Wait, how'd you? I don't know none of this shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. How'd you? I don't know if you've already talked about this on the pod.
I posted a TikTok about it, but I haven't talked about it on the pod. Okay, let's just dive into it. So it was funny because like it's actually I have this group of friends in Hoboken, and we're gonna get back to you because this is your episode, my man.
Totally, but this is
I know we're just we're both invested in each other, so we gotta talk about it. But I had this friend group in Hoboken that I actually moved here for from college. And there's this insane story. We're not friends anymore. This trip we went on in Nashville and someone pulled a knife and like it was crazy. It was just absolutely nuts. Someone got kicked out of bars, all this other stuff. But because of them, I was in a fight with them that weekend. So I went out with my other friends that I knew in Hoboken, this guy James and this other guy Pants. So we go to Pier 13.
Pants.
His name is, we call him Pants for short. Just because of his last name, which I don't want to say on the pod, but yeah, it makes sense when you hear the name.
Okay.
Pantolino, we'll say, or something.
Right, something like that. I figured it was something Italian.
Yeah, exactly. Olive skin guy, like super Italian. So, but we're out and we see these, like, I see this girl from across the bar, and it's like, you know, like, you'll see a girl, and yeah, man. And it's funny because I have this thought, like, I'm like, oh my God, she looks just like, you know, Rory Gilmore from Gilmore Girls?
Yeah, and you know what Taylor looks
like. She hates when I say that because like she thinks she's so ugly, and I'm like, dude, she's not like she's gorgeous. So, but she also gets Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones a lot, and then Anna Delvey. I'm not sure if you know her.
Yes, that's
the one where it's like people are like, oh my God, they're like twins. So I see this girl from across the way, and I go to Pants. I'm like, Pants, let's go talk to these girls. All right, I'm like, you come with me. He's like, all right, I got the perfect opener. Okay, so walk over. And I'm like, excuse me, ladies, not to interrupt, but my friend has something. He'd like to tell you. And I turn over. Pants is not there. He's 20 yards that way, dude. And I'm like, give me one sec. I was like, Pants. And he's like, oh, yeah. So he's like walking on over. He's 20 yards away, dude. There's a solid like 10 or 15 seconds, like just silence. Super awkward. So he comes over, man. And then I was like, oh, Pants, and you want to like tell these like pretty girls like something or whatever? And he goes, oh, yeah. So like what should two guys say to two beautiful women they see at the bar? That was his opener.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Pants.
You're like, brilliant. Pants is...
Dude, damn it, Pants.
Taylor's best friend just goes, I don't know. Like, it was like awkward. And then, dude, I went into, and I'm sure you can relate to this as a performer, I went into like host showman mode to save it.
Crowd control.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just like this innate where I'm like, I'm trying to like do whatever. I'm trying to crack jokes or whatever about what people wear and stuff like that. And then my buddy comes over with a slice of pizza. He's like, what are you guys talking about? Then it gets normal. So it's like, okay, so like we went over the normal awkwardness and I'm not really getting a vibe from Taylor. So eventually, like after 10, 15 minutes, I tap her on the shoulder. I'm like, hey, it was really nice to meet you, but I'm going to go and just like go home or whatever. And she put her hand on my shoulder and she goes, you're leaving? And I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here.
I never meant to leave. I was always here. I would
like,
order something else.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, do you want a drink or something? Dude, so we spent the whole night together. And then, we've been together ever since. It's not funny. We like to say we texted every day since, which is true, unless we were obviously together. And then, dude, she lived right around the block from me in Hoboken, which is crazy. And we still fucking complained about the commute. That was the most privileged thing I think I've ever done. Where I was like, oh, I gotta go to her place again.
Now I know what you're talking about when you said you talked about this on TikTok. I've seen it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I don't think you understand how insanely rare that is.
Dude,
that is in 2020. What year is this? 2023?
Oh, the year. I thought you meant what year is it now? 2023. Yeah.
Well, I mean, shit. Yeah,
dude, exactly. True. We don't.
Whatever it is. 2025?
Yeah.
You know, that's probably never going to happen again.
Dude, I'm trying to work on it.
No one's ever going to meet in person again.
I'm trying to work on a joke about it, but it's not working where it's like, I don't think this is the angle, but I'm doing something on stage where I'm like, it used to be when you said you met someone online, people would be like, what are you, a creep?
Yes. No, I heard
that.
Yeah.
Oh, you've heard the joke.
Yeah.
Oh, you like that one? Okay.
Maybe people don't like it.
I don't know, because it hits sometimes or not. But the biggest one is like, it's almost like a UFO where people are like, I've never heard of people like meeting in person anymore.
No, it's insane. Well, I think what you said in the joke, not to repeat your joke.
No, it's all good.
But like, it's true. Like, it used to be creepy to meet people online. You were a creep if you were messaging people online.
Right.
Now, like what you just described. Okay, like up and people that are listening, watching, you need to understand that in this year, what story he described up until the point where she was like, where are you going? You were the creepiest person at
that
bar.
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
You were a murderer.
Yeah, and it's like...
That's insane. What are you doing?
It's crazy, man. And it's... Yeah, I'm like, what am I...
What are you bothering her for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, who am I that I think I could talk to women in public?
How dare you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's... But, dude, like, so... And are you still single, or are you seeing anybody now? Or?
Oh, brother.
Oh, boy.
I think this is my permanent...
This is it? Oh, you found her?
No.
Oh, damn.
No, I think
dude,
that
I'm like,
my...
we did it?
No. I think, yeah, we did it. We killed it, and we ended it, and I think I'm just going to be single for the rest of my life.
Yeah? Do you like the single life, or no?
Nah, dude. I'm not one of those fake people that's like, oh, yeah, like, I could do whatever I want. Like, But, like, dude, this shit is lonely.
Yeah, and it's hard when you're a comic, too, because it's, you know, a lot of times people are working a day job and then you're busy at night. So it's also, and when you're out at night, when, like, you're at work, like, you're there to do a job and you're not really there to, I mean, yeah, it's cool to meet people, like, after shows that really like your set and stuff like that. But, like you said, it's like half the time you just want to go home and you want
to,
like.
No, I'm not trying to bring nobody to the show.
Yeah.
I think I stay the whole show. You go up third. Now you got to waste four more people.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know what I mean? Like, it's a, and then you got, and then, I mean, the good thing is when you get good and you start to really work, then you got another show after that.
Exactly.
You got seven, so you got an eight, you got a nine. And then I'm trying to do more spots.
Yeah, man, exactly. And it's like, yeah, then you're home at 3 or 4 in the morning. And it's like, then you're off schedule with people. Like, it's even, like, we make it work. I'm very lucky because I work from home during the day. So it's like, we have a dog together too. So, like, we literally switch. So, like, when she comes home from work, like, she takes care of the dog, and then I go into the city to do spots or whatever I'm doing. So we make it work in that sense. But I do have to be cognizant of, like, okay, I need to take one night off to spend with her and, like, be present and around.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a hard balance to strike, dude.
I that's why I have it with my sister. I have the same setup, but with my sister, makes it way easier. We don't have to fuck. We don't have to do nothing. Same exact setup, bro. I don't have to kiss her. I'm home all day. And then... She's a teacher, so she comes back at 5.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I say, what's up? How's your day? Then switch off. She takes the dog out, and then I go do whatever I need to do. But yeah, it's the same exact set. I get it. It's beautiful. Same setup. I would argue mine's a little bit better.
It's more familiar.
Actually, no, that's not true, because it would be nice to kiss somebody on the way out.
You're like, it would be nice to be loved.
It would be nice to be loved, bro.
It's
I mean, like, it's just... Like, for example, like, yeah, I'm having fun, man. Like, I'm at the studio all day shooting stuff, and then I'm doing stand-up at night. I'm here with my boy. We're doing podcasts. I get to do all this fun stuff.
Yeah.
Like, deep down, like, I'm thinking about Sunday. Sunday, I have nothing going on.
Yeah. You can always hang out here, man. I know, but it's Hoboken, dude. It's no one wants to come out.
Everyone else is going to be, we'll hang out with you and your fiance and your dog. Like, get the fuck out of here, bro. I'm not doing that shit.
Dude, Taylor loves you, man. So
she's
it's
the
always,
best.
She's awesome. Cool people, yeah, right? She almost, like, this is how much she likes you. Is she hates coming here because I'm here all the time.
Yeah,
she was like, oh, maybe I'll come by and see Jamel. And then she
and say what's up. That'd
yeah,
be
yeah. I know.
I thought it was going to be both of you guys. I thought you were going to do the whole couple host thing.
Sometimes she comes by. She was here just, I had a friend, his name's Matt Kasabian, and he did the podcast. He had ulcerative colitis for his low point. We're going to get to yours in just a moment. But so that was his. So she hung out for that one. After that, it's like, it's nice because, like, we're in a relationship. Like, when we were first going out, she was like, oh, I'll come to an 11 p.m. mic at Tuesday at Eastville Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And, like, now she's like, dude, which she was the only girl in the room. And that was an interesting
one. I don't know how you guys did that. The people like you who grinded doing comedy, and then dating, got girlfriends and stuff, and they got to go to, my God, they got to go to the Bringer shows.
Oh,
you
got
to buy their tickets. You got to drop $40 to Bringer and drinks and stuff.
Dude, it's nice because Bringer, for me, it's always -1 because I can just bring her. That's honestly why I'm with
her.
Oh,
we got to worry about 4 people.
Oh, you bring her 6 people? More like 5. Excuse me.
Couldn't be me, man. Damn, that sounds tough. I got a guaranteed. So I feel you, though. I used to have a roommate, and, like, that's how I made it. When I first started, I was with this dude, bro. I paid him to come. I made him come to everything.
Dude, you got it. That's always so funny because it's like, it's so embarrassing to ask people to come to a comedy show that you're doing. It's the worst, man. You feel so guilty. And it's like, I'm sure you're like me where it's like, I'm very blessed. I have friends that would want to come.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like, I'll be like, there's free tickets, but I'll pay for them, like, on the side. But, dude, I also feel bad, too, because, like, it gets kind of expensive now with some of the shows that people come to.
Oh,
so it's like,
It's a good, but, it's a good, and that's why I take this so seriously sometimes. Like, even yeah. though we do shows where we don't, you know, we're not up for it, we're not yeah. feeling it, or it doesn't look, the vibe's not what we want. Like, bro, these are like $45, $50 nights for some
yeah,
people.
Exactly.
Like, in this economy, my God, I'm not going to see none of y'all. Don't. No, I hope none of my friends try to make it in anything. Get a job. I'm not coming to your concert. Your bringer shows, bro. Don't skate.
I am done.
No.
Unless you are live streaming on Twitch or something, I will not be there.
The most I would do is like, oh, my homie wants to be a pro skateboarder. Yeah, the park is free. I know that. Go watch the buddy, you know, hey, that's the 360. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing none of this shit. I gotta pay for
it. You're only staying for one trip.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know who these other guys are. And I don't know what's good. I'm not a skateboarder. So I don't know if you want to.
What am I going to watch? 18-year-olds go down a half pipe?
I'm saying,
I can't.
Yeah, no. Nah, it's got to be, like, I hope, like, ice skating, that's cool in the winter. Any of my homies who listen or watch this, bro, do not try and make it in anything because I will not support you, bro. It's
you're
too
like,
expensive.
If you're like, by the way, I'm due to bring her next Tuesday. I know, right? You guys can come.
Oh, my gosh. I got really lucky when I was first doing this stuff because... Yeah.
How long have you been doing it now?
I think it'll be 4 years in like October.
Nice. Okay, very cool.
Yeah, like 3.5 years, okay. Something like that. I would take 3 years like actually taking serious.
I'm in the same boat, yeah.
But like in the beginning, everyone was so excited. And so I never invited people to mics or anything like that. All of my plays were like audition shows.
Yeah, which is smart.
So exactly. Yeah. I was like, okay, we're doing the industry room. Like, that's the only show I'm telling anybody out yep. for the next 2 months.
Exactly.
West Side Audition. All right. You know, so every bringer I did, I had like 20 people. I had like 15 people.
Dude, that's the way to do it, man. And what's funny is it was so, well, going back to the Rodney showcase that I did, because that was an audition show. I was so thankful that you were in the room because that was the first time I performed in front of my family.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because
yeah.
I met your mom.
Yeah, dude. Oh, you did.
I did.
Dude,
and your auntie. She's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, dude. She's awesome. Dude, you actually, I don't even know if you remember this, but you did a show here, you hosted, and my mom was in the audience. You asked my
yes.
mom if she watched porn.
I did.
And I was like, Mom, please just don't answer the question. And she was like, I can't answer that. And I was like, I've never been more grateful.
I remember.
That my,
I
yeah.
remember. She was sitting right there.
Dude, yes, yeah. And you're like, oh. I was like, I can't be in the room for this.
To be fair, I don't think I knew that was your mom.
No. Yeah, you definitely didn't know. Yeah, you weren't like, you're Matt's mom? What's your porn category?
Well, no, if I knew it was your mom, I would ask totally different. I'd be like, listen, which of these four black porn stars have you seen in the last 30 days? It would have been way more specific.
You're like, I brought some diagrams. You tell me which of these is working.
Guys, we have an expert in the audience. Man, could you please stand up, please? Could
you please?
Dread. Guys, we have the photographer from the famous Big Black Dick meme. It would have been way worse. You kidding me?
That's so funny.
No, I mean, yeah, that was dope. I mean, I thought again, like, dude, you're very talented. You're a very good writer.
Yeah,
And reading on social, bro, you see it works, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, the nice thing is like with social media now, and one of the like, Dude, I say this like as someone, I just use it as a joke writing exercise. I was like, I'm just going to try and write a joke once a day, throw it out there. And then that way, like when I go to write stand up as well, I at least have a joke journal where I can be like, okay, at least I can start with this idea and like maybe work something out of it. I'm always so happy when I see other comedians post because it's so cringe to put yourself out there like that. But you can really, I just think it's so important that everyone has some sort of social media presence now.
Yeah.
Like, I hear so many stories of bookers and things like that being like, or casting directors and stuff like that being like, okay, how many Instagram followers that you have? How many TikToks? Like, whatever.
No, for sure.
And not that it inherently matters as like your value as a person, but it's one of those things where it's just like, that's one of the things, like, if you want opportunity, it helps for sure. Like, I've already started an email list, dude. And it's like, I have people in like Oregon, Portland, Oregon, Canada, like things like that. People that, you know, that are just like, I have their emails and I can be like, you know, eventually I'd love to tour like the solo shows I'm doing. So, you know, that's the eventual goal, but just to be able to do stuff like that. But that's why I love that I'm seeing you like do stuff online, man.
Oh, bro. I mean, one video can change your life, bro.
Yeah,
like,
man.
I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, I post whatever I want.
Dude,
I want.
No, and I love that. And that's the mentality like you should have. And I'm still like working through it because the bombs hurt. The bombs.
Like on the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why do those hurt? I don't care about that.
Oh, well, no. It's like, no. And this is interesting because it's like for me, it's like I'm like, oh, my God. Like, and I'm still working on this, but I care so much about like how other people see me. And I know that's a flaw.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'm trying to work on it.
Who doesn't, bro? Like, yeah, if they don't, they lying to you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like I've gotten much better over the years where it's like, and like small, I actually keep a log of like small wins where it's like, for example, I'm going to go home and I'm going to write in my like, log that you said I was like underrated as a comedian, which coming from you really means a lot to me. I'm not being like sarcastic or funny. So I always try to go back to that where it's like, okay, this video popped off. Maybe it's like if one doesn't do well, I'm not like the worst comedian in the world or whatever. And I was talking with Dave Colombo, and he did the podcast. He's awesome and he's a great content creator. And even he was like, yeah, sometimes like I'll do a video and it'll pop off, and then like I'll do the same video, same writing style, and it'll get like 20 times less the views. And he's like, I didn't really become 20 times less like worse of a writer.
Yeah,
it's just the algorithm and like things that are out of your control.
None of this isn't real.
Oh no. Exactly.
This isn't real.
Like, and I want to be very clear, like, yeah. I know I'm like talking a lot, but 100% it's totally about like connecting with people. Like, it that is a tool to what you eventually want to do, which is like you want to be selling your own tickets and you want to be doing your own shows. And or at least from my perspective, that's
yeah, if you use this right, like you just all you do is you learn about what works, what doesn't, like what do you like what do other people like.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like I've worked in social media for a long time.
Do you work in social media during the day too?
I'm a content creator.
Oh, dude, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I've known this for a while, but it's definitely way more evident the past 2 years, bro. One, 90% of people that follow you, I'm not gonna see that.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's literally everything you post these days is being funneled into a machine. That's compiled with like 14, 15 other videos of very similar grains. Mm-hmm. They're all shown to the same different cohorts of people. It's going through this like if you put a piece of chicken in a meat grinder, bro, you're not gonna get the same piece of chicken that come out of it. It's gonna be some little bits here, some little bits there.
Yeah, that's really
so like
interesting.
that's what's getting funneled and sent out into like the universe. So like, bro, I've had best friends comment on a post, be like, yo, this is hilarious. This is like the third time I posted that video. What, like, where,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, 100%.
Most people don't see any of this stuff. All our videos are just the algorithm trying to figure out, is this person worth sending more followers to?
Yeah,
right. That's all this is.
No,
eventually those followers will turn into dollars, which is what we want.
Yeah, and but, dude, you know what's really nice? And like, I say this just as like being like, not as a brag at all. But like, what's nice is like I'm making a little money now on it, and I'm using it for ads for this show at the bookstore. Dude, we're doing shows every week next month, which I'm super pumped about. But it's an investment in the stage time, and then I'm running my solo show in April that I'm gonna use that money like for ads to do that too, man. So,
bro,
it's so much about
just keep doing what you're doing, bro.
Yeah, man, and that's I really do mean it means so much to hear that from like someone I respect and admire so much. And I actually want to use that as a transition too. We can get into your low point, which I don't know.
Oh, yes.
Maybe not my
best
transition.
Why
can't
I get on the high point pod? Nick, this is good. No,
this is good, dude.
This is good.
Yeah, and you know, it's the whole point. Obviously, it's like a safe space to be vulnerable and everything like that. But Jamel, you told me that you said you struggled a little bit with school. That was the low point for you.
Yeah. When you asked me what my low point was, I feel like I have so many. And it's hard to pinpoint a specific low point, but when I racked through my brain as I was like typing and thinking about like
what
my low point was,
yeah,
it's just all the lowest points I could think of happened in school at some form. Like whether it was like middle school, elementary school, high school, college was pretty bad at certain points.
Sure.
Like I was pretty messed up in the beginning.
I want to kind of go back. So just because I think, like years of therapy, like so much starts in like childhood.
Yeah.
So like when you say like kindergarten was rough for you, is it like the learning aspect of it? Was it like, I feel like it's not, it wasn't socializing.
Was it
socializing?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like really, I mean, I'm a smart kid. So like I know how to do things. You know what I mean? I went to college and all this stuff. I always had problems with other people or teachers, especially teachers. I always had every school I've ever been to, every grade I've ever been to, been in. I've had a parent-teacher conference. Mom has to come in. Dad has to come in. I've always had a problem with, I don't think it might be like an authority thing.
That's what I was going to ask.
I've never been arrested, really. Like, never had a problem with cops or judges or lawyers. It was always like something with teachers. But yeah, like even going back, like elementary school, we got in trouble for, we were like breaking shit we had like a recess airtime and we were like breaking stuff in the backyard.
Oh, so
stuff.
It was more like, were you causing trouble and like stuff like that? Or like, what was it with these teachers that like caused the friction?
You know what it was? I don't think I listened very well. I wasn't good at, it's not that I didn't, maybe I didn't respect them. I just like, you know, people like, actually here's the core of it. I think in my opinion is, I'm a black kid, biracial kid in Central Florida. Right. I'm at like all white school.
Yeah. Were you like one of the only black people in your grade?
Yeah, I was one of like, it was maybe like one or two people.
Okay.
In the whole school.
Gotcha.
Like in the elementary school, I went to a private elementary school. And like for some reason, there was always friction with the teacher. I would do things that like other kids would do. You know what I mean? But like they would get away. But it was a big problem when Jamal said it. Yeah. Not his issue.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that was like a big core of it. And when you're smart and black, that's a big problem.
What do you mean?
Because you're not supposed to be. This is Florida. Yeah. You're supposed to, yes, ma'am, no, sir, all that stuff.
Sure.
I would question things, be like, why we got to do that? Yeah. And then you get in trouble. Now everyone's, you know.
Right. And then on top of the fact of, like, I feel like the implicit bias makes it, like, even worse.
For sure. And they probably didn't even know that. They don't even realize it. But
sure,
they're like,
sure, yeah.
They're like, why is this kid talking back to me? I would talk, that's really what it was. I would talk back to teachers a lot.
Were you trying, is there a play, I only ask this because you're a comedian, was there a part of you that was like trying to put on a show for your classmates and get like attention in that
definitely.
Sense? Yeah. And I feel
definitely.
Like, yeah. Do you remember any big laughs you got in class?
Oh man, I was the best.
Dude,
bro.
I wish I had class with you. I feel like you murder a class.
Oh dude, all kind of, man. I remember we got suspended because I flashed a bunch of students. There was like an inside joke when we were in like elementary school about our butts. And I just, I just went for it.
You just like pulled your pants down in the middle
of
the class?
Yeah, bro. And then
I bet it
mom kind of come pick me up and she was like, I was going to take you to see Spider-Man.
Oh, no.
She definitely wasn't going to do that shit. She just wanted to make me feel worse. She was like, see, now you can't wait to see Tobey Maguire. Yeah. And I love, this is like Spider-Man 2 was coming
dude,
out.
Those Spider-Mans were so like pivotal and like, because we're both 29.
Yeah.
So like those movies, man.
So my grandma took me later. Though,
all right,
so
that's good. Dude, but, I'm anything but ordinary playing in the credits. Do you remember that song?
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's just.
The whole, I mean, just, they don't make him like that no more, bro.
No, they don't. And you know what was so good? That was like the perfect, he's the best superhero because it was the most well done about the idea of like taking an outsider and like him being special.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I feel like just as like comedians again, like you immediately connect with.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's, but it's so good.
It's just like,
I'm getting like too deep into it. But
no,
like,
bro. I could talk about anything Marvel for like hours.
Are you a big Marvel guy?
Big Marvel, big Star Wars, Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. Harry Potter.
Game of
the same
Thrones.
Game of Thrones is great too. Dude, what's your take on the new, and we're going to get back, I promise, but what's your take on the new Star Wars movies? As a lifelong fan.
All right. The sequels, as you would call them,
yeah,
in
like
canon.
Like 7 through 9.
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, me neither.
The power scaling is off.
Yeah.
Rey's force lightning now? No hatred? Canonically, it doesn't make any sense. It took Palpatine years to get
lightning
force
with love? Nice
Dooku
try.
Dooku could do force lightning? Rey could do force lightning on accident? Trying to reach for something? Get the fuck out of my face. Yeah, like the force healing? Where was that when Anakin was fried up?
Yeah, literally, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
When old boy was cooking on barbecuing in Mustafar, he couldn't force heal his limbs back. Rey gets stabbed in the chest. He's good. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
The force essence thing, that was weird. I could go on it all day.
No, dude.
Rey kissing Adam Driver, that was unnecessary.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on there? Dude, you know what it was? They were trying to recreate too much from the original trilogy.
Exactly.
And I knew it exactly when in the seventh one, spoiler if you haven't seen it, I guess, where
spoiler
it's...
Spoiler for them. They don't deserve to see that.
Exactly. Yeah, literally. It's like, don't bother seeing it. It's when you learn that Han Solo is Adam Driver's father.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're really just going for shock value. Like, it's the same. I was like, this isn't.
Dude, they literally just copied the whole thing. I mean.
Yeah, I'm like,
and
know.
And then, well, I think the only thing that really makes me mad is the fact that George Lucas wrote the wrote sequels.
Yeah.
Sent it to them.
Right.
And they were like, nah, we're good. We're going to do something
else. See, I didn't know he wrote sequels to send to them.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was about Luke and Leia and like their whole thing.
Right.
And they're the main protagonists. It all makes sense canonically. Like it goes
right.
Then they just decided to scrap all.
And
that.
You know what? I bet it's just because all these like big budget movie studios now are just trying to put out crap that's just like. And but I people have caught on to that, which is why nobody goes to movies anymore.
That's what I'm saying, bro. The whole everything makes no sense, bro. Palpatine and Darth Vader. They spent 30 years building a Death Star. Gets blown up. They're like, fuck, we gotta build another one. They build another Death Star. Gets blown up. These guys in the middle of nowhere in like 6 months build one that can the Star Destroyer killer that kills like 8 planets at once. Like how ridiculous is that?
It's just
how long it took to kill Alderaan. And then these guys, bro, it makes me so mad.
It's so funny too because it's like, well, it's like how do we beat building a planet? It's like more planets.
Wait, we destroyed a planet. What if we did 6 planets? Hold on now. 10 planets. Yo, like, that's so stupid, bro.
Come on. And I'm not, look, I don't have an answer, but it's like, that's not where the story needs to go.
That's what I'm saying. And then, you know, we were old enough to remember when it was like, it took Jedi like 45 years to get good.
Yes. Yeah. And this was just,
she was good immediately.
Yeah. Which is not, and that's also not fun to see, like, from a character development type thing.
Wait, what? She was doing all the front flips that Luke and Yoda was working on in like,
I know.
The first 3 minutes.
I know. The only cool thing I will give them credit for is the lightsaber fight in like the winter forest type
scene. Yeah, that was
scene.
Cool.
That was cool. The lightsaber hilt, I thought was a little cheesy.
But it's cool,
it's
I guess.
It's like fine.
I
get it.
Like
that. Yeah, so it's like you got to give them credit there.
Like,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just compare. I mean, like, it's like just compare what your feeling was. You're the same age as me, so I know you went to the theaters to see it. Phantom Menace?
I didn't go, not for Phantom Menace, but Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah.
I wore a robe and shit, and
dude,
I brought a lightsaber.
That? Oh, my God. But I wore Harry Potter robes to get the 7th book, which we're going to talk about Harry Potter next. So.
As dude. Did I. big nerd over here, bro, and big gangster, so don't play with me. I still will kill you, but I also love Harry Potter.
Just a gangster who loves Harry Potter.
Bro, real talk.
It's universal.
That's what I'm saying. Never judge a book by its cover. That moment when Maul shows the dual lightsaber.
That
alone washes everything from.
Did people cheer in the theater when you went?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's like one of the earliest memories I have.
But that's way cooler than a hilt, I would argue.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's like, and again, I'm not, I don't know, I'm just. I don't write the movies, but like a lightsaber axe maybe would. But I don't know. And it's like a hilt is like, all right. It's just. My other thing, it was done. And if you're going to start a story, start a real story people can connect with. Not a clear just trying to.
They're just trying to. Matt, when he had like the monkey walkers. Remember that shit? God. The gorilla. Was that necessary? Was it necessary to make the walkers gorillas? Was it necessary to make them do this? No, it wasn't.
It's absurd. But I want to hear, a bit for just because, again, as a...
Wait, are we switching to Harry Potter?
Yeah, just because I'm a diehard Harry Potter fan. Is there anything else you wanted to say about Star Wars?
No, please.
I think we covered it.
That'll just make me upset.
Absolutely. But I will say, Revenge of the Sith, that was one of the
greatest movies
I've seen
of all time.
That
was incredible. I can recite word for word so much from that movie.
It's just... What's great about that movie is, like, in every other Star Wars movie, there is a, like an ultimate lightsaber fight. That one is just action-packed throughout. Starts with one. There's ones throughout. It's
that
just...
That one's space. Grievous. We get we get everything.
Let me tell you. Blue on blue?
Not bad.
It's just...
The Mustafar fight in general, like, when they're swinging from the...
Yeah. And the cutbacks to Yoda and Palpatine. It's just... That really is... The
music.
And John Williams is incredible. Do you ever listen to like that music when you work out? I do sometimes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's...
Come on, bro. You're
like, I ran a 5-minute mile.
I don't even know, bro. I'm fighting the Jedi Temple in my mind. Order 66. Let's go. Harry Potter, what house are you in? Have you taken the test?
Yeah, I have. I'm ashamed to say.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
It's Okay. Hufflepuff.
You're Hufflepuff?
Yeah. I'm ashamed of
it. No disrespect, bro. I can see it. No
that
disrespect.
Is the worst thing you get out. No that disrespect. Is the worst thing no. anyone has ever said to me.
First of all, I got a cousin. She in Hufflepuff.
You're like,
I got cousins in Hufflepuff, man. I think my auntie in Hufflepuff too. You think
like,
I would hate on my
you
auntie?
You say it like I'm looking for people in a support group. So, like it's like,
you know, I got a cousin in Hufflepuff. You want me to call her?
They meet Carol. On Wednesdays.
Mass in Hufflepuff too. You guys can hang out. Yeah, bro, that sucks.
Dude, it's
no, no. Cedric Diggory.
Can I guess yours?
That's dope.
Cedric Diggory's cool. I mean, he doesn't last very long, but is there anyone? You know, it's like funny. Did you read the books?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. So I read the books. How many times did you read the books?
I probably read them all twice.
Okay, so I think I'm in the same boat. I think I read them like 2 or 3 times. I actually just showed my fiance the movies, which was cool because she was into those.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Dude, it's very
cool. To be
able
to show somebody.
Oh, that's the best.
I'm trying so hard.
Dude, I have one of my good friends. He just, he's showing his girlfriend Star Wars and she's showing him Harry Potter.
Mm.
That's a great month.
Why are other people, oh God, why can't you give me these blessings that other people have? God, these things that other people have, give them to me.
Come on,
all I want is to meet a beautiful girl who's amazing, smart, and funny, and has never seen Star Wars before.
Ugh.
And we could watch them together, four through six, and then
one through three. Right, which is the right way to show it. And then the other thing those, it's great when they like it, because I feel like most smart, beautiful women probably don't like it.
Bro, there's this dude on TikTok I saw. He was showing his girlfriend, and he was like recording the reaction. I don't know if you saw this.
I don't think I did.
Oh, bro, don't even do it. It break your heart, man. It's just you're fine. You're in love and you're confident in that. Not me. I watched maybe like 2 of them and I couldn't watch them no
oh,
more.
Oh no.
Cause she was so into it and I was just crying.
Oh, I see. I thought you were gonna say she wasn't into it.
No,
but
she was so into
that's
it.
That's really
and it
cool,
broke
dude.
Me, bro.
Dude, I try to do that with the New York Yankees. I am a diehard New York Yankee fan. I try to make it like reality TV for my girlfriend because she's obsessed with reality TV. Try to give her the storylines, nothing sticking. I'm dying to go to opening day. She won't go with me.
You know what's
and
crazy?
It's like, yeah. I shouldn't say that. She would if I really, really pushed, but
yeah, that sports is, I think sports is hard because sports, it's gotta be a moment, right? Like,
yeah.
We all had a moment trigger, and we maybe don't remember it because with us, sports happens so much longer.
Oh, you know, that's really interesting.
There's a
yeah.
moment trigger. Like, for example, my sister never cared about football.
Okay.
The
one you're having sex with.
Correct. The one I'm not.
Sorry.
I genuinely don't have. I was gonna try to make.
We
another
can cut
rebuttal
that if you
joke.
Want to.
No,
we
have to keep that. I was just trying to think of like a rebuttal joke, bro. But like, there's nothing. I was gonna say the one who should be giving me sex. I don't know. You know what to say.
The
to that.
One who's a freaking brood,
right?
Man.
Oh, you mean my roommate? That's all she is. This is my roommate. Like she never cared or whatever.
Yeah.
And then. There was something about the Super Bowl and like Kendrick and the halftime and Trump.
Oh, this past year.
Yeah. Nice. And you know, like this Taylor Swift and, cause my sister's super liberal.
Okay.
And so like the Swiftie, Travis Kelce, Trump stuff.
Yeah.
There's something about all of that. And then the Eagles, when I came home from the Super Bowl party, she was like, yo, who's Cooper DeJean? I was like, the white boy? She was like, yo, I love the Eagles. She was just on TikTok looking at Eagles highlights.
Dude, that's
she became a huge fan.
Yeah.
Now she loves the Eagles.
And it's crazy. And one that I feel like that's the value in like winning these championships now for these organizations is you get fans that way and things like that. But it is really cool because with social media now, you have so much more access to the team and it feels so much more like
exactly.
a personal connection with them.
That pick six highlight, like that's easily all that stuff is easily digestible for them.
Yeah.
You can't watch. You can watch that out of context. You can watch a dope play out of context.
Yeah,
man, you can't send nobody no Star Wars TikTok. No, you don't understand. He had emergency powers by the Senate. His term had actually ended, but because of the Trade Federation block on Naboo. Like, you can't explain what the fuck we're supposed to do about this shit.
You don't understand. This is how democracy ends with thunderous applause. That hits.
You don't get it. She's Queen Amidala, but she gave it up to become a senator. like it's just the whole
you don't get it. He was into her since she was 11.
I'm telling you. 11. No. And no human had ever won a pod race before. <It's> stupid.
And what's, oh, I forget, I wish this would hit. I forget the name of that. What's the, it's less than a centimeter of like a womp pad or whatever it is. Yeah.
Oh, Luke. You were saying, guess my Hogwarts house. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you a Ravenclaw?
I'm not.
No, what are you, Gryffindor?
I'm not.
Are you Slytherin?
I am.
Oh, that's crazy. Can you tell us about that?
You whisper it like you were about to say Voldemort.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. He must not be. He's going to get... he like pops up behind us.
Slytherin.
Oh, my God. How'd you feel when you got those results? Did you know?
It felt right. It felt right. Nice. I can totally see myself in Slytherin.
That's good. It's ambitious. That's really...
And look,
you know.
All that... And look, now that I'm in... When I became a part of a Slytherin house, really understood all the propaganda that you guys have
You know what?
Out.
I was just going to say...
The left-wing media has been saying...
Slytherin, there's got to be one kid in Slytherin who's like... I just want to get a good job.
That's what I'm saying, like, bro. What is all this about?
He's working so hard.
Yo, what do you mean we got to go to the dungeons? Like, I want to fight too. Like, I go to school here.
Can we get some natural light in this dorm room, please?
It's dark. Like, yo, not everyone wants to live like that, bro. Not even, like, I mean, I think there's a lot of propaganda around Slytherin. They made 7 books just where we're always the bad guys.
I know.
People forget Merlin was in Slytherin.
I did forget that.
Where would we be without Merlin?
We would...
You know, no one wants to ask those type of questions, huh? Where would we be without Merlin? We would have none of them stuff, none of them stones, King Arthur, none of that shit. Okay, there's good people. Slughorn,
Slytherin,
he's Severus Snape, arguably the greatest hero.
That's a good one
in Harry Potter.
That is a good one. That is,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to.
That's
about it.
But I'm sure.
The Merlin one is big. That one is
Merlin's
like
huge. It's like Dumbledore.
Where would he be without Merlin?
That's what I'm saying.
The road he paved.
Ask yourselves that. It's like the George Washington of the Harry Potter universe, man.
I do want to go back because I think it's interesting. Now, Slytherin, I'm trying to transition it way back.
Totally.
So as a Slytherin kid in like school and stuff, I am curious, Jamal, was there a time specifically you remember where like you had this friction with the teacher and it like kind of maybe even still stays with you or that was significant?
Yeah. There was a point where one of the earliest real frictions I had with the teacher was in elementary school outside of the pants thing.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff was me being like mischievous.
Okay.
And again, I like the attention and I love making jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't understand that like I was doing it at such a bigger impact than my peers. And that's why I was getting caught all the time. Because I was wondering, like, why is everyone picking on me? Yeah, bro, because you're attention grabbing. I was doing all this stuff in front of
everybody.
Yeah. But we were all messing around as kids and making fun of each other for stuff. And the teacher pulled me aside. This is easily one of my earliest memories.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, you can't make fun of them for that. I'm like, everyone's making fun of them. Like, what if everyone made fun of you because you were black? And I was like,
she said that to
you?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm black. I was like, what do you mean? And then I came home and this is like, bro, I went to when I was, this is like really young. So this is like, these are literally my first, like I'm 4 or 5.
Oh my God.
And I didn't really understand what she meant. Cause I'd gone to the school, it was very much like, oh, white. My mom, is Montessori school. So my mom she's still a Montessori teacher. She owns a school now, but like, she really wanted me in being that. And, I didn't really think about it. And then I came home and I was like, Mom, do people make fun of me because I'm black? And she stopped the car. She's like, what the fuck do you mean? Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
She's like, who's making fun of you because you're black? I was like, I am black. So I am black. She was like, well, yeah, obviously you're black. And I was like, well, I didn't even tell you anything.
Which, by the way, I just have to say, this is like the funniest way to find out that you're black.
Or it's
like,
insane way.
It's just like,
I never really thought about it before until then.
Well, what's like interesting is like, this is a time where, and again, I can't speak because this hasn't been my experience, but I imagine it's like, this is the first time in your life where you're like, I'm different than everyone.
Exactly. So and then, then it hit me how different I was in that particular.
Right.
Obviously, you see people that look. I just assumed everyone was the same. We just looked a little bit different. But I didn't know that there was like a label that you were put on. That was put on.
And in the same way, and again, this is just, I'm speaking more from like the naivete of like being a child. Like my dad had very dark. He's like Southern Italian. So like very dark skin. And like I asked my mom, I was like, is dad black? And, and like she was like, no, we're Italian or whatever. But just like to highlight that understanding we have as kids where it's like we don't really understand those boundaries and like those labels.
If he was Sicilian, she would have said, yeah. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. And don't you forget it.
Don't you forget it.
with the hand.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was like that.
I can't believe that teacher, like, well, I guess I can believe it because of the time, but, like, such
an
insane thing.
Early 2000s in Florida, bro. That was a very normal question to her.
Sure.
But my dad came down. My dad gets involved in a serious problem, and it was, like, a whole thing. I remember it being, like, a whole thing, like, having to sit down and her being, like,
I didn't mean to bring that up,
and I was, like, well, whatever.
How did that make you feel? Like,
I don't think I remember my feelings afterwards. If anything, I was just kind of like way more self-aware.
Okay.
And then about that aspect, and I remember I definitely calmed down a lot in terms of school after that. Like, I wasn't like wilding out like I had been before.
Oh, that's interesting. Because
it made me realize, like, oh, like no matter like, and every black person, every person of color knows this. Like, no matter what, like even though everybody loves everybody to a certain extent, and not everybody's like a bad person or racism, like, or racist or anything like that. Like, you always have to remember that, like, for most parts of the world, you are a little bit different. So you can't just like move how everybody else is moving.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can't just do what, you know, your white friends are doing or what your Hispanic friends are doing or Asian friends are doing. You can't just do whatever they do because, the grownups and stuff like that, they're not going to see it that way.
And I imagine too, a lot of black people must have a story like that where they realized.
I'd argue everyone.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, again, like I don't come from that world. So it's interesting. And I think important for me to understand that, like, you've had that experience and how it kind of shaped you.
I mean, there's also the opposite. Like, you know, Paul Wall, remember Paul Wall? Mm-mm. Remember the grill, the guy who made the song about grills?
Mm-mm.
And that's Nelly. Well, Paul Wall was on the song too.
Okay.
Paul Wall's a white dude. Paul Wall didn't know he was white until he was like 15.
Yeah, that's, I've heard. Okay, that makes sense. Because I've heard like it's flipped.
Someone was like, you a white boy. He was like, what are you talking about? He's so confused. But it was like, yeah, similar stuff.
So you change the way you act, and you're like, what, 4 or 5 at this point?
Yeah,
like,
okay. I just remember calming down.
Okay.
Like, gotcha. I was very hyper. I was trying to do stuff, being funny, loud. And
it's not, yeah. And what's funny is, like, I guess I relate to that sense in the way of, like, and I don't know, it's probably not the same, but I remember, like, I would have moments, especially when I was little, like, I would be super hyper and, like, I would be, like, all over the place or whatever. But when someone told me to kind of calm down or, like, watch myself, like, it almost felt like I kind of went inside myself a little bit, like, I had to hold back.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
and
like,
oh,
I don't want
to
do that.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe not like even in a bad way, or just like I need to kind of learn how to be around people without losing my mind or
right,
something.
Freaking out. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, like, I remember, because I had a lot of white friends growing up, white friends, black friends, a lot of people, but I remember, like, you know, you go to like your white friend's house,
mm-hmm.
like. Definitely couldn't do everything that they was doing. And they, you know, I grew up with bad kids too. So like,
yeah,
they would do certain stuff, like go out at night, like break stuff. Like, I remember, we would horse around. We would do bad shit all the time. Shoot BB guns and stuff. I remember I had one friend who shot himself in the leg with a BB gun.
Oh my God.
Copper bullets, bro, went right through his leg.
Oh,
like,
my
we used to do
God.
Shit all the time. One time we were wrestling around and I broke, one of my friend's mom's mirrors, and mm-hmm. I've never seen anyone that mad before. Like, she got so much madder than she'd been at anything else. It was like it was a mirror in the garage.
Did you know her like
away.
Previously, like as your friend's mom
I've
and stuff?
Known her for
years. Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like little things like that where they don't realize that stuff.
No, yeah. Oh, you're saying that because you were black that she was like even angrier? Or
that's how
that's how
definitely.
Okay, yeah.
Definitely. Because like we white kids were coming in there and breaking shit all the time, doing all kind of bad stuff, breaking in their house, stealing their snacks and stuff.
And again, I know I must sound kind of like an idiot at this point, but I'm really just I'm it's more from a place of like empathetic understanding, like rather than, you know what I'm trying
to
say?
It's super, bro, this is the South. It's super normal.
Yeah. Which, like, cause I grew up in the Northeast it's like, you know, I grew up in like a predominantly white town too. So it's like, you know, I'm trying to understand.
Cause you got to remember in the South, the demographics are completely different.
Right.
These southern, small towns, these southern places, there's more black people. So white people are already on edge.
Right. That makes,
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gotta make sure they check. That's why the teacher was like, hey, make sure you know you're black.
Yeah.
Don't go here and doing all that fancy stuff, making all these good white kids feel bad. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just how it is. But
so you were, like doing, so like as like an adolescent, then you were out like doing stuff and like.
Yeah, I was definitely like, I was super outgoing.
Yeah.
And that's what always got me in trouble. Like another low point. Like I remember, bro, middle school, I probably got suspended or like in school detention, maybe like once every couple months, bro. It was bad.
Wow.
Like, and it was always for just saying something in class, talking back to a teacher.
Yeah.
I remember one time, like, as a joke, the principal told me to do something. This is, like, she, like, friends with my mom. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, she told me to do something. I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. She wrote me up immediately. I was like, God dang. I was just playing around. Like, I couldn't even explain myself.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Got to go to detention for 3 weeks. I got into fights a lot. I used to get into fights all the time.
You got into fights? Oh,
all the
God.
Time. I used to get
and
into
I
fights.
Say this, too, and I'm sure it's apparent to everyone listening. Like, I was very by the book. Never got suspended, never
great
got
kid.
Detention. I was, what'd you say?
That's a great kid.
Oh, no. Well, you know what it was? I was so terrified of my parents that I was like, I can't, because and I'm working on this in a solo show. My dad, he quoted Machiavelli as like his parenting
terrifying.
Style. He was like, it's better to be feared than loved. I was like, that was in the 1500s.
That's,
I think we've evolved.
That's terrifying. They had guillotines back
then.
Oh, my
God.
Why would you say that?
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God. So it was like that kind of household. So I was just like, word. Out of like, I was obedient out of like necessity to be like, you know, to feel safe. So like, but you would get into fights and stuff yourself.
Oh yeah, I got into fights all the time.
Oh my God.
Got suspended for a week for a fight.
Were you angry? Do you think, is that like, was that there or was it just like?
No, you always just gotta like, I always had to prove myself. I'm a mixed race person in a small Southern town, bro. My grandma was, you know, who she was at the time. Like, I didn't fit in to everybody else, and so you know, and where I come from, like, if you don't stand up for yourself, bro, they gonna mess with you forever.
Yeah, which is
so
yeah.
Anybody said anything to me, but this goes. I mean, everybody who grew up around me knows it. Like,
right, it's more
it's
of
the
like,
same. It's for everybody. Like, yeah. Somebody say something to you, bro, you gotta go handle that.
Gotcha.
Or else it never gonna stop.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it was more just like standing up for yourself and like putting.
Yeah, for sure. Like somebody making fun of my Science fair project. I remember in like sixth grade.
What was the project?
I grew like the crystals and shit.
Oh wait, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a good project, man.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's good.
He was making fun of me like the whole class, and then as soon as class got ended, I was sitting on it like, all right, everyone's laughing at me. Like, all right, cool.
Oh.
As soon as the bell rung and we got up, I walked over and I just hit him right in the face.
Yeah, man. Oh, but that must have felt so good.
Awesome.
Not advocating violence, but
yeah, no, but yeah. Like, and then I was like, damn, I shouldn't. Yeah. I mean, I was like, damn, I gotta get in trouble again.
Yeah.
This kid was making fun of me, caught him in the bathroom,
and just yeah,
laid it. Yeah.
I'm curious too, because again, like, just coming from the complete opposite end of the spectrum here.
Yeah.
In terms of like standing up, because I'm someone I tend to go like inside. I would like. Never get into fights with people, like, just because out of fear and stuff like that. Do you think, like, that gave you a sense of, like, self-confidence that you could, like, stand up for yourself like that?
Definitely.
That's good.
I was in karate, man, so I knew.
Oh, you were in karate? Are you black belt?
Yeah. I was a taekwondo black belt.
Oh, nice.
As I got older, for sure, like, I started to realize, like, and then when I started playing football, you know, you realize those things, too. Cause I was
what
like,
position were you?
I played, like, linebacker.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Defensive end on JV. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I was kind of a bigger dude, though. I was way bigger than this.
Gotcha.
I used to just lift all day. But, like, started playing sports, get more confidence, and I realized, like, okay, like, I can, whatever. Started hanging around better friends and stuff like that. I was definitely in the wrong crowds earlier on.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't until I got to high school that I started to hang out with, like, people
Was that like consciously, or did you just sort of like know yourself a little better and like you floated more too?
No, nah, just bro. I went to middle school in like the hood, bro. Like,
oh wow, okay.
It's just like, I'm from a small town, bro. Like,
okay,
small town. Volusia County is the poorest county in the country. Almost.
I didn't even know.
Wow. It's poor town, poor county. Not going on. Our middle school's in the hood, bro. We knew, you know, hella kids that died when we was in there. A lot of gun violence, a lot of all that shit. So like, like my best friend Mahil, he's a his family's from Bangladesh. He's a immigrant, bro. He good in the hood, bro. Like, we was down there for my high school reunion, bro. He was so uncomfortable when we first got to this bar for the after stuff.
Yeah.
And we were there for like an hour, and he was like, all right, man, let's get out of here. And then all the black people showed up late, and we stayed for another 3 hours, bro, because we know everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He know everybody. It's just, yeah, it wasn't. And then I did, my mom put me in IB, in the IB program in high school.
What's IB?
Is that like the college level?
Yeah. Okay.
So my whole friend group changed. So then I was with all these kids that were going to college and stuff. And then also I always tried to prove myself because when I was in fourth grade, you know, my grandma became president of Liberia and stuff.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, your grandmother was the president of Liberia?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so.
So,
like,
that's
in fourth grade,
wow.
I, like, went to Liberia for a month and a half, 2 months.
Okay.
And then I was doing all this traveling and stuff with her and meeting all these people. And so I would, like, I would go to the White House and come back to, you know, DeLand, Florida. And bring, like, all this stuff. And people would be like, mostly, I think, and that's why I always had problems with teachers, because I think, like, dude, I came from this other world.
Wow.
And it's hard. You can't, listen, man, I just met the president of Denmark. Now, you can't talk to me crazy. Like, who are you talking
really,
to?
Yeah.
So I always had an issue with teachers, because I'm like, I already know more than you. Like, you've never been to China. I've been to China. I'm in eighth grade.
It's like, almost like, we talked a little bit about, like, implicit bias. It's like, here you are. I'm not saying the teachers did this like consciously, but like they're trying to put you in this box.
For sure. They're
and
trying to
you
make
are like, you're like, no, I am this, yeah, this
bro,
whole other person.
I'm like, bro, my grandma has a Nobel Peace Prize. Like, you can't just. So I always had an issue with them because, you know, I was in the newspapers and stuff.
Yeah.
It was on the news. It was like a big deal when all this like
right,
first
when
happened.
All happened. Yeah.
So, and during that time is when I was, like, entering middle school. Like, I mean, like, those formative years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm living these two different lives.
Totally, man.
So,
yeah.
I was getting in trouble so much because I was just lashing out on, like, I just, did, it didn't, I, they would, like you said, like, I'll be like, why are you guys making me, like, putting me in this, why are you making me do all this
stuff?
Make me feel like I'm less than just because, like, I do all this stuff. Like, let me not talk about it no more. So, that's why I kind of, you know, I didn't really talk about it. It's not something I just bring up to people anymore.
No, of course. And it's so interesting, and I'm so glad you're sharing it, because, like, I feel like the easy answer, right, is if a kid's acting out in school, there must be something wrong or, like, whatever. But it could, in this case, it's, like, very clear. It's the environment in which you're growing up in, and it just feels like, I don't mean to sound cheesy, but, like, you just weren't given that ability to, like, shine or be yourself.
Definitely not. I mean, then everyone wants you to be a certain, to be a certain type of way. Like, I had a teacher, bro, like, ever since I can remember, I love money. I love making money. I think money is dope.
Cool.
I love entertainment. I was in video class in high school, and my guidance counselor / history teacher was this like super liberal lady from like the like Boston or something like that. And she found out she knew who my grandma was. She was like a big fan, you know, feminism. No, I appreciate it, but
of course.
She tried to like, bro, for like 2 years, she was like trying to make me join all these clubs and being like, she wanted me to be this like civil rights lawyer and stuff.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Like, college stuff. She was like sending me these pamphlets, being like, I'm like, Charlie, I'm going to business school. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You
know
what?
You're like, what?
Pro bono law work? Get the fuck out of my face.
You think I'm working for free? Like,
you're
what?
You're nuts. I was like, what? The prison system? I'm not getting in there. Public defender? You got me.
You know how much these investment bankers are making on Wall Street?
Yeah, you're nuts, bro. Like, what are you talking about, bro? I was selling, man. I was like, you know how much I'm making off this candy business I got going on right now? I was selling, like, I would get my mom to take me to Sam's Club, bro. And I would get, like, the box of, like, all these candies.
Yeah.
And you know when, like, the clubs sell the world's finest chocolate or whatever?
Yeah.
I would sell my shit on the side, which is, like,
God.
The regular, like, Snickers and stuff like
Dude,
that.
That's so funny.
Like, bread.
So you always had that entrepreneurial spirit to you as
I sold a lot of things, man.
Yeah.
man, I sold a lot of things. A lot of money.
Dude, I love that this liberal teacher, you're like, dude, I am just trying to make it.
Also, in my mind... Because me and my friends talk about this a lot because I got this like core friend group from you know DeLand, who I grew up with, shout out to them, and we all made it, like they're all doctors now, med school lawyers,
nice.
Stuff like that, but we talk about all the time, like in our minds, like that whole that experience of living in, like, even though our families were all immigrants, so they were kind of like, they doing their own thing, making money. The kids, people that we were around that we grew up with, bro, we have like a hood mentality.
Yeah.
Like, kill or be killed.
Right,
like,
right.
Gotta get this paper, we gotta get out of here. Like, we gotta, you know, we have a hustler's mentality because that's like where we're from. Like, none of this other stuff. I never care about none of this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not one of the Obamas, bro. No. I'm from D-Land.
Yeah,
Florida.
No, of course. But like, dude, it makes perfect sense. And what a great mentality to have in the stand-up world, like to bring it back to like comedy where it's just like you need to. I do feel like it is an eat or be eaten type environment, especially in New York City where it's just like, you know, you have to fend for yourself. You have to just make it happen by yourself.
I wake up every day knowing that like there's a kid out there that wants my spot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a
and you're looking at him. No, I'm just kidding. No.
you're right. But like, bro, like right now, dude, there's a kid he's gonna watch this podcast and be like, I'm gonna make a podcast and make it better,
dude.
Than
yeah,
you know what I mean,
so yo, we gotta, dude, 100%.
So we have to always be,
but dude, 100%. But I do think, like, I think the beauty in it is that you have to remember, there's especially now. Being authentically yourself, I think, is like so important, which is why I really enjoy that the fact that like you come on the podcast and like you talk about all this stuff just to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. To kind of bring it, you know, full circle. I do. We usually. How are we doing on time? We're doing good. Not to say, are you in a rush? Do you have to get out of here or anything?
No, not really. You know, I live far away as hell.
No, bro. I know. So we can.
I was trying to see. Okay.
No. So
you want to do the lowest point?
Can we do that? Yeah. And then we'll do like, because usually we end on like how to be better.
We can do the lowest point. Let's see. High school, because I was in that program and I was in sports, I didn't get as much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I still got like, there was like a point where like I still had issues with teachers always.
Sure,
like there was this one teacher. I was about to say her name because I had already gotten her online for like a bunch of other things.
Oh really? Oh geez.
Oh yeah, bro. There was like this whole, she was like real concerned. You want to talk about Florida, bro? She was like, she's a history teacher.
Yeah.
This is how I got in trouble. We had a test and one of the questions was like, it was like a write out question. It was like, what was one of the main reasons for the Civil War? And I put slavery. And I got it wrong.
What?
The correct answer was states' rights.
Get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding me?
I swear to God. And so, you know, we had a problem.
Understandably so.
And then.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I think I was talking in class. About
what if
it.
I was like, yeah, what's wrong with that?
That'd be hilarious. That actually would be so funny. I mean, like, that's like. Obviously, it's states' rights. The states' rights to own slaves. Like, obviously.
Leave it up to them.
But that's But you see what I'm saying? That was her And then she had this, like, weird infatuation with Robert E. Lee. It was all weird, bro.
Yeah. And so much, too, is, like, I bet, like, in your dealings with her, she's, like, she has to make a point to herself, which makes it, like, 10 times worse for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So me and her always got in trouble at many conferences with her. And then this one teacher, like, I did not think that breaking this down would make it seem like I grew up this super racist ass city, but like, damn. Because the other teacher, bro, like senior skip day, everyone cuts. I was like the only one who got rid up.
That what?
And I wrote her this.
Wait, by the same teacher?
Yeah.
By the Civil War teacher?
No, different teacher.
Oh, different teacher.
Everyone skipped fifth period.
Yeah.
Math. Come back to class.
That poor math teacher. Why'd they choose my class?
She was off. Oh, man. I hope she did.
Anyway.
Yeah, she wrote me up, man. I had another teacher who told me I would never get into college. It's like a whole thing, bro. All I can say, that's why when you asked me what are my low points, I was like, it all happened in school, bro.
Well, what's interesting is like so many times people come on this podcast and it always comes, I find, to like the formative years of your life. And especially like in high school and stuff like that, where it's these times where you really don't know who you are as a person that kind of shape you. But and correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing and what I'm very happy to hear is you went through all this and through all this, you're still like, no, I know who I am. I'm confident enough where this isn't going to shake me. and that, you know, obviously you like still went to college and like you did all the stuff that you want to be doing, and you're doing all the things that you're doing now. I like, do you attribute that like kind of eat or be eat mentality to that, that got you through it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, bro. Like there was no, like nobody cares about none of this stuff. Like, as you can see, like I had every opportunity to do these amazing things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, like my grandma was traveling around the world. Like I met Obama, bro. Like I know George Bush like that, son.
Oh my God.
Like, but none of that. I was siloed from all of that, mm-hmm. from my day to day, because I was just another kid that lived in D-Land, bro. Like,
yeah.
Regular high school kid, whatever. It's a small town. There's nothing else going on. Most of this is super pre-social media too. So
of course,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Which
so
is
like,
nuts to say.
I know, right? So the only thing I knew was like, man, I got to figure out how to get through today. Like, I don't know what everybody else doing.
Was your, like, when you got exposed to that other world, was your grandma like a big proponent for you? Was she a role model?
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah, I mean, that's insane story. You could do.
I don't know. And I don't know anything about it.
Oh, no. You
can,
yeah. We'll spend too much time.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, you can look that up, bro. Insane story life. But,
sure.
Like, she was always just kind of like, but she made it a point, honestly, bro. Like, when you were really around her, like, she was just grandma. Like, my whole family was like that. We still like that. We're a very tight-knit group of people because we've been through so much.
Yeah.
And we don't really let a whole lot of outside stuff impact what we're doing. So, like, you know, when I'm with grandma, you're just with grandma. Everything else around it looks dope because there's, like, all this stuff going on.
Right,
you know, you got Secret Service. She come to the house for stuff. That's why I was acting crazy my last year in high school. Like, the last semester of high school, bro, I got all my get back, brother. Because my grandma coming to my graduation.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to meet the superintendent, the governor of Florida got to come down.
Oh, wow.
The state congressman. They got Secret Service. They got to go to the school and make sure everything is safe.
Wow.
We got a motorcade to the oh, yeah, bro. And I milked the shit out of that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I was like, everybody that wronged me, I was like, yo, that teacher, senior skip day. When I wrote her an email like this whole mean thing, I'm like, I CC'd the principal, bro. We had a meeting the next day. He was like, can you please apologize, Jamel? You all right?
The principal made the teacher apologize 100%, to you,
bro.
Dude. That is amazing.
Because, bro, he was like, you gonna fuck up this whole thing? We got I was late to the graduate. We had to do the rehearsal, bro. For graduation, I was late. I didn't care. They had to wait for me, bro.
You're late. You're strutting in. Just like.
Oh, came in shade.
I was going to say shade. Yeah,
for
to be
sure.
In shades,
coffee.
Yeah.
I was like, sorry, guys. Everyone's like in cap
like
and gown.
Throwing it
waiting.
On the principal.
Yeah.
Like.
I wake. I get up on stage. I'm like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. My little speech for grandma stuff. Grandma comes. You know, it's like lit in there.
They make you valedictorian just because your grandma's there. You're like,
I got to sit on the stage with fucking people. Because I didn't do nothing, bro.
If I'm that valedictorian, I'm pissed. I'm like, this guy.
It would be, but that's the homegirl. Shout out to Rebecca.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Becca.
Right, that's good.
shout out
like,
to,
we're tight.
Yeah, that's homegirl. So, like, we cool.
That's
but
good.
She family, too. So, she, all right, she,
good,
she's
good, good.
Good.
All right, good.
But, yeah, nah, it was mad people started looking at me differently. But, I milked the shit out of that. I would say the lowest point I ever had, though, was definitely in college.
Okay.
I had my first semester. I pledged a fraternity. I'm just coming from this real sheltered, small world life.
Sure.
I'm in Boston, and I get to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
It's partying crazy.
Yeah.
First semester, 1.0 GPA.
I'm sorry, what?
1.0 GPA.
Jamel.
That means they broke it down for me. They were like, you went to the midterm. In the final.
They broke it down.
You missed every other class. They're like, you went to the first day of classes.
You're like, but how did I do on
you
the
came
final?
To the midterm. In the final. They're like, we're surprised you got a D in something. Like, how the hell did you get a D in econ? Guess everything. They know shit, bro.
Oh,
I was partying during that time. So then the next, I'm on academic probation. They're bugging out.
Yeah.
My pops is pissed. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna work really hard.
Okay.
I have this opportunity. Like, all right, bro, you screw around, like, lock in. You're embarrassing your family. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, wow,
you're better
okay.
than that. like, yeah, you know, like, you know, they, my grandma on the stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so I locked in. I'm going to the library every day. I'm working crazy hard. I go to this class for the first time ever. I'm there every single time. I'm participating in discussions. I'm doing all
Look
this
at
stuff.
You. Wow.
I'm doing all this stuff.
I love it.
Final write a paper. I think it's great. Like, I actually feel good about it. I said it to my mom just would be sure. My godmom is a professor at Stetson University. So I said it to her. She's like, she teaches the same subject. She's like, English.
Okay.
She's like, oh, yeah, this is great.
This is perfect.
This is good. She's like, yeah, damn, proud of you, man. I'm like, oh, thank you. I turn in. I get a D.
Why?
The teacher didn't like, because of everything I did the last semester.
Yeah.
That teacher was not trying to let me
no.
get my grades up.
So they were holding that previous semester against you.
Because they knew that was what I needed.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I remember sitting, we got all the grades on the computer. I got up. And this is how you know, like, I have another side. That's how I survived all them years in D-Lane.
Yeah,
I got
yeah.
another side to me, bro. Because when I get mad, it just turns.
Yeah.
I get up. I walk to her classroom. She's not there. I go to her office. She's not there.
Mm-hmm.
I fuck it up. I destroy the
office. Oh, my God.
Break a shit.
Yeah.
I write, take a big nope. I put C-U-N-T. And I stick it on her monitor.
Oh, my God.
And I just left. And I was like, I got this system left. And then
you're like, man, that's a good day's work.
The craziest thing is, this is how you know. See, this is how you, so the craziest thing is that that's the last day of school, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Go home to Florida, chilling, get an email from the school. They're like, hey, this teacher is accusing you of, this is Title IX. She accused me of sexual assault.
Oh, my
God. Crazy.
Wait, that's insane.
Insane.
But that's not what happened.
Because the.
Oh, so the, because of the word choice. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Wow.
So I'm like, what? They're like, did you do that? And they have no cameras in there, so they don't proof.
I was just going to ask, yeah, for the cameras.
So I'm like, why are you saying that? Like, I was like, why are you saying it's me? They're like, well, she mentioned you specifically as a primary suspect. I'm like, oh, well, why would she say that? I was like, it's because I've been mistreated this entire, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah.
So they got nothing on me, bro. I'm Nino Brown at first. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I'm like, my girl got an alibi. She called the school, like, yeah, he was with me at lunch. Like, I'm chilling, bro. Nice. I'm in a fraternity, bro. You know, the brothers got me. Like, what? Him?
He was doing volunteer work.
Best guy in the world. they're doing all, they keep, they're, because they have no proof, so they really can't do nothing.
Yeah.
But they keep hitting me up.
Okay.
Keep emailing me, bro. They're like, listen, like, she is forcing, you could tell, like, the school is kind of like, they're calling me like, bro, she is forcing this issue. She
okay.
wants to get you, she wants you to go to jail. Like, she is so pissed at you right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why would she be pissed at me? I didn't do it. but, like, they're on me, bro. They're like, we're literally hiring a forensics person to come in
what?
And match the handwriting of the note to your handwriting.
Oh, my God.
And get a lawyer, like.
Yeah.
Do you really want to go through with this, bro?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I sat there for a while, and I was like, I'll think about it. And then like, no. I call him back, and I'm like, all right, it was me. But this is why.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked to, they were like, bro, they were like so relieved that they didn't have to deal with this no more. They were like,
yeah.
Listen, bro, like, thank God. Okay, we'll like, don't worry about her. We'll handle her.
Yeah.
She go. You gotta have a restraining order from the for the teachers. You
okay.
can't be closer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you are on probation till you graduate.
Okay.
So
you had to like be okay.
Dark times, man. Like, and they had to tell my parents, obviously.
Yeah, and that never.
And everybody.
Well. Yeah.
I lost like my financial aid.
Ugh.
Bro, I gotta want something. I got no money.
Yeah.
I gotta go back to summer school. So I spent every summer at school from then on.
Wow.
And I had to get a 3.5 every semester to graduate.
Which is difficult in and of itself.
Correct.
Do.
Especially
yeah.
at BU.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah.
Dark, bro.
But you did it.
I did it.
Yeah.
Dark. But like, because like my options were drop out.
Yeah.
okay, I drop out, but like, who gonna take me after that freaking court case I just had? You know what I mean? I can't transfer nowhere because they're gonna be like,
right, it's on your record and
type shit. Yeah. So I had, bro, I had to just thug it.
Well, I think it's incredible that like you were able to get that. I want to be cognizant of time because I know you gotta get out of here. But I do. What's interesting to me, like just being someone that's like listened to you, is like it almost feels like that's the culminating thing of from kindergarten on to everything we've talked about, of just constantly being undermined by these teachers and educators that you've had, where it ends in this, and you still come out on top, where you say, you know, you have this obviously low point of going on academic probation, but you still beat it and you graduated.
Yep.
And you, I mean, it's just, it's sad to me. I mean, I'm just like reacting. It's sad to me that like you had to go through this experience with almost every teacher that you had.
Yeah, man. And you know what I think about is like, bro, think about all the kids across the country that go through stuff like that, that don't have the support system I had.
Yeah.
So I can't even really complain. Like, bro, that's why why do you think a lot of these kids drop out of school and like get in trouble with all these bad stuff? Like, it's hard. Bro, I don't blame these people, these teachers, bro. Florida ranks 50 out of 50 in public education funding. Like, these teachers making 15 grand a year. I'd be mean as shit, too.
Yeah, no, and that's the other thing, too, is just, like, it's just not valued at all. Like, the, you know.
So, like, everything needs to change. It's nobody's fault, really. If anything, like, looking back, all that stuff needed to happen for me to, like, be who I am today anyway.
Well, then that's the point of the pod. And, you know, we can end on this, which is just I want to hear, like, if you could talk to that person you were, like, going through it or a kid out there who's going through it currently, what advice would you give to them? Is it to kind of white knuckle it and get through?
Yeah, I would say, bro, control what you can control.
Yeah.
Because that was my problem. I knew I was smarter than a lot of people there.
Yeah.
I knew I came from a great, insane background. You know what I mean? Like, I had all these opportunities, and I was so frustrated. Why can't I just fix and change everything how I wanted to change? You can't control these people, bro. You can't control any of this other stuff. You can't. You got to enjoy and embrace, like, what's available to you, and then just work really, really hard at the stuff that you like.
Yeah.
And then do what you love. Like, my thing is I was trying to conform to what everyone else was doing, but, like, that wasn't me. Like, it never was from the beginning. Like, so, like, control what you can control. And then do what you love so that so you don't have to deal with all these other problems because you're trying to do what everyone else is doing or do what people think you should be doing, you know, whether it be school or work or whatever. Like, I should have been just writing jokes and making YouTube videos with my friends. Like, why didn't I do that? Because I didn't think that was something that I should. Like, I thought I had to do what everyone else was doing.
Yeah, that's a big dude. And I relate to that a lot. Like, just not to cut you off, but, like, I relate to that as well, where it's like, you know, especially growing up, my parents wanted a certain thing for me, and when I expressed any sort of interest in comedy or whatever, it was like, yeah, it's not really a viable thing. And then, dude, you start doing it because I'm lucky I found someone who believes in me like Taylor does. And I was just like, I'm just going to do it to the best of my ability. And it's not going bad. So, you know, it's like, so. And especially, too, I think it's valuable advice because, I don't know, I think of you talking to someone out there who doesn't maybe have the confidence that you do, right? Which is that, I say confidence in the sense of, you were able to get through it. Because I, truth be told, like, I listen now, and I don't know if I would have been able to get through, man. Like, I give you so much credit.
Oh, man. Grandma has a Nobel Peace Prize. No. Yeah, right. Your grandma's president of the country. What are you talking about? You'll be fine. I was fine. All
right. Jamel, tell the people where they can find you.
Find me on social media at Jamel Sirleaf, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Follow me on TikTok. Actually, I'm trying to get like Matt Pena, bro.
Hell yeah.
I'm trying to get this Matt Pena money.
Dude, get that money, baby. It's all about it. Yeah, we said it before. He's just trying to. No, Jamel, you are an incredible comedian. I can't wait. My favorite thing about this episode is I can't wait to look back in about 5 years or so and just say I was lucky enough to have you on the pod when you make it huge.
I can't wait 5 years from now to be like, yo, you know, I was on that pod, right?
Oh, that's very sweet.
You don't know. No, you don't believe. No, I swear to God. Look it up. What do you mean it's not there?
He took it down? What?
Matt. Hello? Change his number.
I'm going back to the bookstore. I'm going to find him there.
I can't.
You write cunt on the window.
I'm still working on myself.
Oh, I love it. Jamel, thank you so much for doing the podcast, man. You're the best. Follow him on social media. And here's to hoping we left you a little bit higher. All right.
Oh, I like that tag.
Oh, you like it, dude?
Oh, shit.